Welcome to the Coug Center Podcast, and here's your host.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Michael Preston.
All right, welcome to the Coug Center Podcast. I'm Michael Preston. We have no time to dilly-dally this week. Absolutely zero time to dilly-dally. We have signing day coming up tomorrow, and that meant I can only think of one guy to call when it came to recruiting. The man who Paul Wolf knows better as Brulio, Braulio Perez from CougFan.com and the Linden Tribune. Brulio, how are you doing today?
Oh, you got to throw Wolf under the bus like that the first time you have me on the show? Come on, Mike, what's going on?
Well, I mean, you know, just the way, I mean, it's easy. Your name's Braulio, not Brulio. And he had, like, what, 3 years to get it right?
In his defense, you know, Braulio, potato, you know, it's fine. We'll let it slide.
Well, the guy did just lose a Super Bowl yesterday, so I'll lay off him a little bit.
Back off the poor guy.
Yeah, I know. So, signing day coming up tomorrow, and I mean, your life obviously pretty hectic right now, but all these high school recruits' life pretty hectic. Just, you know, if you can, a little bit for us. Kind of give us a look into what the next 24 hours are like for a high school kid who maybe hasn't made his decision yet and he wants to make his decision on signing day. Of course, they don't have to make it tomorrow. But, you know, kind of give us a look into what they're going through. Are they getting phone calls from a lot of folks asking what's going on? Just what's happening these next 24 hours for those kids?
Oh, without question. It's got to be a stressful period of time for them, but not just for them, but also their families as well. You have these kids and, you know, Michael, as you know, there's just so many recruiting sites out there these days that it's not just, you know, one or two reporters who are trying to get a hold of these kids. It's, you know, 15 to 20 guys who are trying to, you know, get the scoop and figure out where they're going. And I've actually had a couple of kids let me know, they're like, hey, you know, kind of decided to slow things down a bit, not going to be talking to the media, or they just, you know, there have been times where I've been trying to reach kids and, you know, their phones have been off because, you know, I'm assuming they've been getting so many calls. But, you know, the way it's been with recruiting is, you know, some of these kids, you know, they're waiting until the last minute. But unfortunately, those guys who are, you know, waiting so long, they're kind of, they're losing their spot at the table, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So with recruiting, the way it's been going is kids are committing so early in the process that, you know, with coaches, it's come to the point where, you know, either you're in or you're out. We kind of need to know right now, and that's happened with a couple of WSU targets recently as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you look at Myron Turner. That guy, unfortunately, whatever happened in that situation, we'll probably never know exactly what happened. You know, usually my theory always being the truth lies somewhere in between, at least. Right now, Scout has the recruiting class for WSU at number 41 going into signing day tomorrow. How does that look historically, at least from the last few years, in terms of you covering the team? Good, better, worse, about the same? How does it look based on these last couple of seasons in comparison?
Well, you know, from previous years, it's looking a lot better. We actually, at CougFan.com, we came out with a story today, you know, where Coug classes have ranked in previous years. So in 2012, they're at 53rd, 2011, 57th. 2010 was actually a pretty darn good year. They were at 40th, 2009, 43rd. Actually, 2008 was a pretty big drop, 74th. That was, I think, Paul Wolf's first year as head coach.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he only had about a month to get in and get a class together. So that, you know, it was tough for Wolf. But I've been very impressed with this class, you know, all over. There's good players on the lines at different skill positions, and a lot of JC guys. I think the Coug fans can be very excited about next season that can, you know, possibly make an immediate impact. One guy that, you know, just jumps right at you is wide receiver Vince Maley from Sierra Junior College in California. This kid, you know, he's 6'3", 220, but just, you know, a physical specimen who I think can be, you know, a top outside receiver. He was getting looks from Ohio State, LSU, Auburn, and, you know, in today's recruitment, you know, some kids, they'll say, you know, oh, I'm committed to so-and-so school, but, you know, I'm going to take other official visits. And, you know, Vince self-admittedly had said, you know, I'm going to take a listen to some of these other schools, but when it came down to it, he told me, you know, I'm 100% committed to the Cougs. I love the coaches, and the fan support has been great, so I'm gonna stay with them. So, you know, solid class, and definitely a step in the right direction for Wazoo football.
Now, you know, I think the other thing I wanted to ask you about is I get this question sometimes about some of the recruits from, say, American Samoa, that area. Daniel Etuale, the one that comes to mind. There's a couple other guys coming here from Samoa. How hard is it to scout these guys and kind of come up with the rankings for them? Because at least my understanding is that, you know, it's A, just hard to get out there. B, it's hard to get video from any of them. And C, kind of hard to judge because, I'm not sure exactly how much organized football there is in American Samoa, but a lot of these guys haven't, played football since they were, just old enough to put the pads on. They've only played it for a couple of years. So how difficult is it to kind of rate those guys that, are playing out at American Samoa just because of all the hardships you might have just being able to see them play?
It's very difficult. So you got to give, kudos to the guys like, Jake Worthen and Brandon Huffman, who, get this tape and are able to, give kind of their best judgments moving forward. And at the same time, it's also the hard work of the coaches to get down there, travel back and forth, and kind of get a sense for how talented some of these young guys are. So, the way recruiting works now is you have kids, they put their videos on YouTube, and then they get it on Twitter, and they put it on Facebook, and that's how coaches can kind of get a feel for their talent levels once again. And maybe that's helped some of these guys from American Samoa. The director of football down there, Brandon Smart, he does a great job getting their video and their footage out to all these different coaches. So, he deserves a lot of credit for getting the players' names out there as well.
Okay. Why don't we shift back to, we'll go back to Washington State specifically for a second here. Has there been anybody that's committed to Washington State that surprised you a little bit? You heard it and you kind of went, wow, that one came out of left field a bit. Was there anybody like that so far that right now that's at least given a verbal to Washington State that's going to put their John Hancock on an NLI on Wednesday?
One guy, it's actually funny. I went to the Seattle Seahawks, San Francisco 49ers game earlier this year. It was a Sunday night football game, actually.
Yep.
Where the Hawks just pounded the 49ers. And as a Hawks fan, it's off topic. I was very excited to see that. But as I digress, I remember I got into the press box after, of course, I grabbed my food items.
Oh, now who doesn't, right? I mean, you and I, the pulled pork back in the day, but now I'm digressing with that pulled pork at Martin Stadium.
Well, Bill Stevens, I always joke, he said we had a 2-plate limit, but I didn't know if that was, per game or per quarter. I just went the whole per quarter thing, so, I was getting all my food in.
I never heard about that limit. Anyway, you were at the Seahawks game.
So, yeah, I was at the Seahawks game, and I grabbed my food, and then I sat down, I logged on to CougFan.com, and then, sure enough, Barry Bolton had a breaking report that Narbonne High School lineman Paolo Lapua had committed to Wazoo. And I was like, holy smokes, did they really just land this kid? Because from what I heard, he was interested in Wazoo, but there were a couple other schools that were making a strong push for him, like Colorado, Oregon State, Arizona, ASU. So I thought, maybe he'll head that direction.
Mm-hmm.
But when he committed to the Cougs, I was a little shocked. But he's, a very, very big-time talent. He's the 41st ranked defensive end in the country by Scout.com, 3 stars. He's, 6'3", 265. And he was, I think it was just yesterday or Saturday, he was named to the first team all-class, all-state in California, which is a big, big-time honor. So this kid can really, really play. And, again, Coug fans, this is a name they should watch out for down the road.
Okay. Now, flipping the other side of that coin, was there anyone you were surprised, that was interested in WSU and decided, it's just not for me, I'm going to go elsewhere? Did anybody really surprise you by not committing to Washington State?
Well, there was actually one guy recently, another defensive end, Takaris McKinley, out of Kennedy High School in California. He's a 6'3", 240-pound guy, and he committed to Cal over the summer, but as Cal had a coach change after the season, and so it was one of those things where I talked with Takaris and the Kennedy athletic advisor, Michael Bobino, and he told me that, it was, things were looking good for Wazoo, how they'd been recruiting him for quite some time, and he was basically on the bubble between staying committed with Cal or flipping the WSU.
Mm-hmm.
And it came down to it where McKinley took his official visit to Cal, not this weekend, but the weekend prior, and just, he was just amped on Cal. It was kind of one of those things where it just felt like the right fit for him. But throughout the whole process, when I think he took a visit to WSU on, I think it was January 18th, and following that trip, he was super, super excited about Wazoo and the direction they were headed. And I personally, I had that gut feeling that McKinley was going to commit to the Cougs, but unfortunately, it looks like he's going to stay committed to Cal and sign with them on Wednesday.
Okay. Now, I know a few years ago, I believe this was my senior year, so I you know, back in February 2010, I believe that was the year, or at least maybe a year before that, but you can correct me. When C.J. Mizell signed, that was a big, big surprise on signing day. How hard is it to read any of those surprises? Because, I want to know, could we see a big surprise like that, and where do you think it would come from if we see it? Because Mizell came out of left field for a lot of people, but is there another name maybe that you've been kind of keeping your eye on that, you know, maybe really could surprise us when his NLI comes in on that fax machine tomorrow?
Well, you know, I really hope not, because that means I'm not doing my job right. I don't have my eye on all the prospects.
No. I think everybody missed Mizell, but is there anybody perhaps?
I've thought about it, like, who could be that guy? Because even last year there was a JC offensive tackle, Sam Jones, who committed out of Pima JC in Arizona, and no one had heard about him, and he came out on signing day. And unfortunately, he didn't qualify academically, but it's always been, you know, in the back of my mind, who's, you know, an under-the-radar guy that might come in? Who's the lead chapter that, you know, I don't know about, or, you know, others don't know about? And, you know, I've been doing a lot of research, and I honestly can't, you know, think of one guy in particular who might show up tomorrow. Would I be shocked to see a name? Absolutely not, because it seems like every year there's that one guy that nobody really, you know, had talked to or touched base with. So, you know, you really never know when it comes to recruiting these days.
Yep. Braulio Perez, CougFan.com and the Linden Tribune. He's always fantastic. The guy knows what he's doing, and he's going to be my boss one day. Thank you, Braulio, for joining us.
Thanks for having me, buddy. Good talking with you.
All right, we're going to be right back here on the Coug Center podcast. We'll hook up with Kyle Rancourt. He'll go over his favorites from this recruiting class as we get you set for signing day tomorrow here on CougCenter.com. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Coug Center podcast, joined by Kyle Rancourt, our recruiting expert and man who knows pretty much a lot more about football and qualities of each position than I do. Mr. Rancourt, how are you doing?
Pretty good. I'm not hungover like the rest of America today.
Well, you know, they always say the Monday after the Super Bowl should be a national holiday. I think the Tuesday afterwards should be too. Just give everybody a 4-day weekend. Why not? National Signing Day is a rather large day for pretty much every fan base around the country, but so Washington State, obviously no exception. What have you liked that you've seen kind of out of Mike Leach so far in his style of recruiting? We obviously didn't get to see too much of him last year. He was hired in December, so didn't really, you know, get that full recruiting cycle to get to all of his guys. But what have you kind of seen from him and his coaching staff here in this last year that you really like recruiting-wise, what they're getting out there and doing?
They have a very specific type of player that they're looking for. It's much different than Wolf. Wolf like to go sort of for the under-the-radar type guys all the time. Taking the under-the-radar kids is fine when you take a flyer on 3, 4, maybe 5 of them, not an entire class. Leach identifies skills that are players that are elite with one particular thing and kind of let's get them in. Focus on that and worry about the rest later. So he'll take somebody with extreme speed, with extreme size, something like that, and okay, we'll get them in, we'll figure out where they're going to play later. They're just really fast. We need to have them on our team. So with the offensive linemen, Wolf would get tight end guys that were, I don't know, 6'4", 6'5", about 240, and grow them into an offensive lineman. And Mike Price was similar in that regard, and so it's kind of an alarming difference to go from that to now we get guys like Cody O'Connell who are 6'8", 350. Guys that don't need to go to Stella's anymore.
No.
Guys that are already ridiculously huge. I think the smallest offensive lineman we have is 6'6", 285.
Jeez.
So he's definitely looking for a specific type of lineman in those wide splits. And then on defense, he's looking for guys sort of like a Bruce Irvin, that he's not going to really worry about him in pass coverage. He's just going to be the buck. So that's what they recruited Ivan McClendon for, and he turned into a better player. So that's just a bonus, but they're looking at guys with specific skill sets like that. So it's, whereas Wolf was just trying to get as many guys that might turn out good eventually, Leach and company are looking at specific, okay, we need somebody that's fast that can rush the passer. We need somebody that's fast that can play cornerback. We need somebody that's really huge that can block pass block for 4 seconds so our quarterback doesn't get killed. They're looking for these specific things in recruiting, and that's much different than what Wolf and company were doing.
Yeah, I find having the quarterback being alive is usually a good thing in football. What have you, or I guess just specifically, give me an example of a couple of guys so far in this class that you've really, really liked, you know, just kind of from the outset. They committed and you just, your first reaction was, wow, these guys are fantastic players and you know, maybe ones that can make an impact right away when they step onto the field at WSU.
The first one that comes to mind that can make an impact right away is Vince Mayo. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his last name right.
I think it's Male. I think Braulio said Male earlier, but either way, everybody knows who we're talking about. Vince M-A-Y-L-E.
Vince Male. Yeah. Okay, Vince Male. He is going to make people forget that Marquise Wilson isn't on the team anymore. He's a big JUCO kid. He's 6'3", 220, so he's not rail thin. Not going to worry about him going over the middle and just getting broken in half. He's a lot faster than people give him credit for. He's got the big body, and when you throw it up to him, he kind of turns into a power forward, like in basketball, where he'll shield the defender out, so there's no way that he can get his hand in there and knock the ball away without it being a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
He's not quite, he doesn't have Marquise Wilson's speed, but he's no slouch in the speed department either. So I think he's going to step in right away. He's got 3 to play too. I don't think he's going to redshirt. He's going to play right away.
Yeah.
He's probably going to start at one of the outside receiver spots. So for guys playing right away, Vince Male is probably the guy that's going to make the most impact right away outside of Ivan McClendon. And I don't think anybody's going to start on defense out of this class. I think McClendon will get some play, but I don't think he'll start. Or if he starts, he'll be rotated. So I think Male is the guy that look at.
Now, when you frequently see these guys when they commit as a junior or early on in their senior year, what you really have to look at is their junior year tape. Who went from when you saw their junior tape, you kind of went, yeah, okay, you know, pretty good. I like him, but you know, good if not solid player. You know, he'll contribute maybe, probably on special teams a lot. Who went from that to just, wow, this kid is going to be really good for the next 4 years at WSU?
The really upsetting part about this is I did that with a kid that just decommitted, Malik Jenkins from Ennis, Texas. His junior tape was good. It looked like he was going to be a good buck, maybe, really athletic but raw. And then his senior tape, it was just night and day. And I was really excited about him. And then right after I finished watching his senior tape, I think maybe like a week later, he ended up decommitting. So that stings a little bit. But McClendon is another guy who looked good in his freshman year in junior college, but didn't look outstanding. He looked just like a good player, like he could maybe rush the passer, and that was it. And then his sophomore year, he moved him from outside to inside. He was playing middle linebacker, and he turned into a complete linebacker. Still has a little bit of trouble dropping in coverage, as a lot of linebackers do, but it was just night and day. So I think McClendon is probably the guy that I looked at the most. Difference between junior and senior tapes that's still committed to sign with us.
Okay, now we've talked about Tyler Brugman a little bit before, 4-star quarterback, very highly ranked in this class coming out of Arizona, if I remember correctly. He is a guy that I think we're probably going to see him redshirt, and there's nothing wrong with having all that quarterback depth back there. What has kind of impressed you the most about him? Because, you know, Mike Leach loves his quarterbacks and always likes having quarterback depth. And as we've seen these last few years, having as many quarterbacks as possible on the roster is a very important thing, especially with the way the offensive line's played. So what's kind of impressed you about Tyler Brugman, especially, you know, maybe like even just the little things people may not know as we get to signing day tomorrow?
Well, Bregman is accuracy, accuracy, accuracy. So with, I know with Holiday, a lot of people were upset that he wasn't as accurate as Tool or whatever. That's the opposite. People are not going to worry about Bregman's accuracy at all. His arm strength isn't amazing. He has good arm strength, but it's not top shelf or anything. But his accuracy and decision-making are fantastic. So the short to intermediate stuff, he's very Oakland Raiders Rich Gannon in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't get rattled in the pocket. So a lot of times, I mean, he's not a scrambler by any means, but he's got enough in his legs to at least escape the rush a little bit and get it out to the running back in the flat or to find a guy on a crossing route. But he's a very smart player. He throws, a lot of kids in high school throw to a player, and Bregman throws to a spot, so he knows mm-hmm. all the routes and where they're going. So he's far advanced football IQ wise for his age, and I think another year or year sitting and redshirting and watching and just learning mm-hmm. will help him tremendously.
So we got some rather, you know, maybe shocking, but unexpected news, at least yesterday, when Montreal Meander flipped his commitment from Washington State to Texas. And, you know, Kyle, we've talked about before Charleston White, his teammate in high school, going to Washington State. So we thought that Meander was probably going to go to Washington State. Of course, took a visit to Texas last weekend and has now flipped his commitment to the Longhorns. How big of a loss is this for WSU, especially as you mentioned yesterday, because at least it looks like they gave him the scholarship that Myron Turner previously had that they pulled and gave to Meander?
Well, it certainly doesn't make Mike Leach look very smart at this juncture. He gambled. He pulled Turner's offer because they realized what a good player Meander is right now and can be in the future, and it ended up not working out for them. On the plus side, Texas is poaching WSU recruits, which means we're not scraping the bottom of the barrel for recruits anymore.
Yay!
So we're not, the Big Sky is super happy right now that we're not taking their recruits.
No, I know exactly.
But it does suck. There's going to be, it's not the end of the world losing a commit, but he was going to be a very good player. He still is going to be a very good player. I never begrudge a kid for changing his mind, because these 17-year-olds don't know what they want for lunch, so how they mm-hmm. know what they want to spend the next 5 years of their life. And he's playing for one of the best programs in the nation in Texas, and it's in-state. So it's roughly 8 hours or so to Austin from Amarillo, and it's about 1,500 miles to Pullman.
Mm-hmm.
So it's looking at it from a non-crimson-colored perspective, it's pretty easy to see why he would pick Texas over WSU, but it does sting a little bit, yeah.
All right, so is there anybody in this class right now that you're looking at that you kind of think, this guy is someone that we might be sleeping on a little bit? This is one that nobody really, you know, Mike Leach might have gotten, as you mentioned earlier. Paul Wolf kind of counted on these diamond in the rough sometimes. Is there anyone in this class that no one really in the big scouting networks thinks too much of, but you really think Mike Leach might have found kind of this diamond in the rough when it comes to recruiting?
I just go back to the offensive lineman that he's recruiting. Cody O'Connell was a first-team All-State guy, and he only played half of the season. He tore his ACL. He's huge, so you got to love that. He's 6'8", 350 pounds. They can't teach size like that. He's probably going to redshirt because he's scheduled to come back or be ready for competition about late July, early August.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't mind redshirting him just to be safe. Maybe get him in a college conditioning program, lose about 10 pounds. But he is a very, very good pass blocker. He's got that nasty mean streak that you want in an offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
And he, for only playing half the season, he was still first team All-State. And I just really, really like the kid. I think he's very big, pun intended. But he's one of the kids looking at that maybe in a couple of years will be wondering why he was only rated 2 stars and why he wasn't getting offers from the UWs and the Oregon and Oregon State
yeah.
of the world.
Yeah. Is there anyone who you really, really want that might be on WSU's radar that you would be surprised to see there letter of intent come in on that fax machine tomorrow. Is there anybody that, you know, kind of CJ Mizell, as I mentioned to Braulio earlier, you know, of a couple of years ago, one that we're just going to be taken aback by? Obviously, you may not, you know because it's a surprise, but is there anyone that you would really, really like to see that might be on WSU's radar?
There's a couple of kids that I would like to see, but I don't think there's going to be anybody of that caliber. All the people of that sort of CJ Mizell, Michael Bumpus type surprise that everybody thinks is going to happen every single year, it's not going to happen this year. I think the best player that we could possibly get would be somebody like a Dwayne Johnson from Texas. I guess his name is Dwayne Johnson, very much like The Rock.
Yeah, I was about to say, is The Rock going back to playing? I thought he ran out of eligibility after he was at the U, yeah.
Yeah, he plays tackle and guard at Bel Air High School in Texas, and that was the school Keith Ewing went to, and we got Keith Ewing last year about 2 days before signing day. So I think he's still high enough. I think it's between us and Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it could happen, but that wouldn't be something that would be completely shocking. I think if one of the Cal commits flipped at the last minute, that would be something that would be shocking. The trio of Cal commits that visited WSU about a month ago. I don't think they will, but I don't think that there's going to be any big-time recruit that is going to change his mind at the last minute and come to WSU this year.
Kyle Rancourt's going to have a very busy day on Wednesday. He's sending you text message notifications. Make sure you sign up for that. We've got a post on KookCenter.com. You can sign up for those. And I promise I probably won't send you dirty text messages that require you to read them out loud in front of your class of 200 people at WSU. Kyle Rancourt, our recruiting guru. Thank you so much, Kyle. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
All righty. Dunderhead of the Week up next. We wrap up the Kook Center podcast, because even though this is a special one about recruiting, that's not going anywhere. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Kook Center podcast. As always, it's time for our final segment, the Dunderhead of the Week.
Fucking idiot.
And this one goes out to someone who I used to like a lot. He wrote for a different media entity, and now I don't like, now that he's with ESPN. Rick Riley, between his adoption piece early in Super Bowl week, and then what he did last night on ESPN, reading a poem after the game. I'm going to let you listen to the whole thing here. To describe it as anything short of abhorrently bad is being polite to it. Have a listen.
This was an electric Super Bowl, and then it wasn't. It was a landslide, and then it wasn't. It was a blowout, and then it was a blackout, and then it was a shootout. It was one of the most bizarre Super Bowls in history, and then it was just one of the best. The lights went out on San Francisco until they actually did go out, which shed an entirely new light on things. What was this, Candlestick? This was two Super Bowls. The one where the young kid was a mess and then was a master. The one where the old guy was a show and then was just slow. The one where the 49ers wanted 2 points and didn't get it, and then didn't want 2 points and got it. It was the most upside down Super Bowl in history. The boring guy was thrilling, and the thrilling guy was spilling, and nothing happened, and then everything happened. The 49ers were so far away, and then so close. But in the end, old defeated young. A legend beat a lion, and a big brother's dreams came true at the expense of a little brother. As a poet named Beyonce once said, put a ring on it.
Just remember, this guy is paid $3 million-ish per year to say that kind of stuff. New segment coming next week. We'll have another special podcast on Thursday to wrap up signing day. But next week, we're going to start a new segment, Ask Michael Anything. Kind of like the Reddit thing, you know, Ask Me Anything, but we're going to do Ask Michael Anything. You want to submit a question, it can be on any topic you want, from love to Cougar football to whatever, to liquor, whatever you want. KookCenterPodcast, all one word, at gmail.com to submit your questions. That's KookCenterPodcast at gmail.com. We'll talk to you on Thursday after signing day. Have yourself a lovely day.